You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Rayu and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
That define your story beyond your life. Like the day they arrived.
Signs of what might be called first contact. The objects measure at least.
I'm Colonel G.T. Weber from Army Intelligence.
Pack your bags.
You're at the top of everyone's list when it comes to translations.
Priority one. What do they want? Where are they from? You'll be reporting to me, but you'll be working with him when you're in the show.
That's what they're calling the UFO.
Being carted off in the medevac.
Not everyone is wired for what you're about to do.
So what do they look like?
You'll see soon enough.
Every 18 hours, a door opens up. That's where we go in.
It's done.
Yeah, that just happened.
What happens now?
They need to see me.
Dr. Banks?
Are you insane?
Now that's a proper introduction.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kale Smith, and joining me this week is...
Ethel Nunez.
Levi Touchberry.
And this week, we are going to be talking about Arrival and Hacksaw Ridge. I know we talked a little bit about Hacksaw Ridge a couple weeks ago when we did the Moonlight podcast. However, we did not go into spoilers, so we are going to do a little bit more in-depth discussion on Hacksaw Ridge today, along with a definitely spoiler-filled podcast for Arrival. So let's get started on Arrival. The plot is, in Dr. Louise Banks, played by Amy Adams, is a linguistics expert. Is that correct, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
She goes out and tries to communicate to aliens. And there's a whole government conspiracy thing, and then there's a theme of communication and language, and then there's some time travel shit, and then the movie ends. So, guys, I really like the movie a lot. I'll get into a reason why it kind of falls apart for me, but go ahead, Ethel. What did you think about the movie?
I loved how the whole story was told in a non-linear way.
Closer to you.
Sorry. I liked how the whole story was told in a non-linear sense. From meeting Amy Adams' daughter to her actually
the opening with her daughter.
Right. The whole story is kind of told from beginning to end. In that sense with the daughter, and it's also retold at the end, so it's nice that it's kind of like a palindrome, kind of like how she named her daughter Hannah.
Right.
It's also a palindrome name. So the score especially was done in the same sense, where all that was told, like basically it was shown at the end in the exact same way, so I like that.
So, and Levi, what were some of your strongest points?
I thought it was really good. Amy Adams had range.
Finally.
Praise God. I thought it was really, really well done. The music definitely set the tone. There were moments of really good suspense. I like how when it was giving away information, it wasn't too forced.
Wasn't expository.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like overly expository, as I should say.
Exactly.
So let's get into the part I really wasn't a fan of. And you guys may or may not disagree with me. I don't like the ending. I really don't. The ending doesn't make a lot of sense to me from a screenwriting perspective in that. So, and this is the ending of the movie, folks. So if you don't want to know the ending and you want to watch the movie, go. Just go watch it. It's fine. It's great. It's a great movie. Go watch it. So here's the ending of the movie. The movie is resolved in a way where now that we know all the facts about the aliens, we know that their language is based off of time. Their language is their weapon, and it's time. And if you learn how to speak their language, it unleashes like a neurological opening in the brain that allows you to see through time.
Past, present, future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with this, Amy Adams, the way she resolves the movie is it's not to present facts to the Chinese leader. I can't remember the name. I have it on IMDb. General Shang. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She has to use a satellite phone to convince him to not perform an airstrike on them, because China has, the way they try to communicate to the aliens was through a game, but the way Louise Banks describes that, how it's a failure, is it's a game. It's you're learning through conflict, mm-hmm. learning how to communicate through conflict. So of course, China will translate that, what they're saying about a weapon, giving them a weapon, is going to obviously be they're going to translate that as they're going to try to destroy us, as they're a threat. Mm-hmm. So she has to basically convince them not with facts, because that already hasn't worked. It's too late for the facts. She has to use, she has to hit him hard through emotions. So the way she does it is she goes back through time about 18 months after the event that's what's happening currently in the movie, to a gala, and they talk about something personal that happened to him.
His wife's last dying words.
And the problem I have with it, it's an okay way of explaining you can't reason people with facts. You reason them with their with something that's personal to them. The issue I have with it is basically the execution, because the way it works is she goes through time. She somehow convinces him to show him her number. Show him his number, and she uses it on the satellite phone, and then coax him to say his wife's dying words, which is for me a problem, because like how is she able to do all of this in a timeline that isn't really there yet? It's not like the timeline that mm-hmm. she's currently at is for destruction. How is she able to go from this timeline where everything's nice and good and she's having this conversation and she's able to coax this stuff out of him without him like thinking it's weird that this person can't remember, everything that just happened to them?
I just realized that the whole phone thing is really forced, because I saw the movie last night, and she doesn't even like coax him into showing the number. He just shows her the number, and he says, for some reason, I think I need to show you this. And that doesn't really, like, if she's like, hey, can I see your phone number? Mm-hmm. Like, that would have made, like, a little bit more sense. Like, very confusing for him, because, she knew his number right at the time in the past.
But still, that goes to my point. Why is she in a timeline that's not already set yet? Like, why is she on the... Like, she should be looking forward in the future at a timeline that's already screwed. The world's been destroyed. Come in. Okay. We have people walking in and out of the studio, folks.
Ghosts.
Well, I guess if she let the whole destruction thing happen, I guess that when she, like, looked into the... Like, tried to look again into the future, maybe she would see more destruction.
Okay. Well, what if from Shang's perspective, he went through kind of the same thing that she did? Even if he's not an expert in language, he somehow, worked with his people and they figured it out for him, to where he somehow knew he was supposed to show her the number. I mean, we just don't know that.
Oh, yeah. She could have later on explained to him, like, oh, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm. See, because she doesn't realize, I made that phone call, and then it shows it right after he shows her the phone number. Oh, and then she starts remembering. So she's kind of going through this, how it's we still are going through it.
that makes sense, but it still plays. It still,
because we're thinking how time works. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you just can't understand it.
It's still well. First of all, it's still like, it still kind of contradicts how time works. But that's a really good theory, because I didn't think about, because I already knew that she could communicate to the aliens because mm-hmm. she has been studying their language enough. Mm-hmm. That's how when she's like in the scene where she's literally in front of Costello, the alien.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I knew that she could communicate to them because she's, of course, been studying. She only uses the board mm-hmm. when it's brought up that there's a weapon involved, just so Jeremy Renner's character, Ian, and just so, or basically to ask questions.
Right.
So I got that, but that was really, for me, the thing that hung me up, is because the ending didn't really make a lot of sense, which kind of made that whole sad montage, mm-hmm. it took me out of the movie, that I couldn't enjoy or be emotionally invested into the sad montage. I understood that the characters were now going to have a bittersweet ending with their daughter, because mm-hmm. really everything that's happened with the daughter that we saw at the beginning of the movie is now happening later on in the
right.
movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a great twist, and I thought they did that really, really well. And so for me, that was really, that's the only reason why the movie didn't completely work, is that little bit at the ending. Everything else has worked great. I love how this is a movie where a woman is fighting a battle full of dangerous men, because everyone around her is afraid. Everyone around her is afraid of these aliens, and she's the only one, and you can make an argument for Ian that he's on her side the entire time, but she's the only one that's basically like, no, let's spend, a couple months studying this. Like, let's not shoot first and then ask questions later. And I found that perspective of the movie really strong. And it also goes back to Denis Villeneuve, who is the director of this movie, how he kind of has seen how he uses women over a period of time. I didn't see this movie, but I read some stuff about it, about Incendies, his like first mm-hmm. breakout movie, where it was, I think, and I might be wrong, but I think it was about a woman struggling with the events after a violent incident and how she, copes with it. And then Enemy, and then moving on to Enemy, which the movie is about women. The whole like catalyst of that movie is women. Where Jake Gyllenhaal's character is afraid of commitment and afraid of giving it and giving into a normal life with, his pregnant wife.
Is
that's
that the
why
spider one?
That's the one where it ends with a spider. And then Sicario has a female lead where the female lead basically represents the innocence of America, mm-hmm. watching the drug war and mm-hmm. watching how hopeless it ultimately is. So in this movie, it's just interesting how in each movie so far he's used women as a viewpoint of getting his thematic values across. So do you guys have any comments on that? I threw a lot at you guys.
No,
I did.
It's okay. I had something. I totally forgot what it was.
Well, let's talk about how scared she was, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I noticed this throughout the entire movie. Before she goes onto the ship or the pod, whatever the,
mm-hmm. the heptapod.
The heptapod ship, right? Before she would go on there, you can see a shot of her hand. It's always like right as they're dressing, you see a shot of her hand each time. Mm-hmm. The first time she's shaking very violently, and the other times you see she's constantly shaking. Like, even after she's, like, still talked to them and still is communicating with them, she's still very nervous. Up until the end where you see her start to, she, like, stops. Like, as she's right about to go up there, she knows what has to be done, so her hand, instead of shaking, just stops.
Well, I think, first, that's really good cinematic language of showing the character's progression.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in a way, it shows how much more confident she is and how much more she realizes how important her duty is. And also, before those moments, while she's trying to communicate to the aliens or essentially create a language for them to understand us, she's having to deal with you know, the military and CIA and all the other international territories all, you know, afraid, while also dealing with the media out. Because what this movie also does very well is showing how the media basically is control, I don't want to say control as much as they've created perception about the aliens and basically an agenda. And that's what motivates, I think this happens at the end of the second act, where the soldiers come in and try to blow up the Hectopod.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Killing Abbott.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for me, I found that really timely in how media and misinformation and how, and it goes along well with how communication is important, which is essentially the overall theme of the movie. What were you going to say, Ethel?
Oh, even the one of the soldiers has a call from his wife, and she's saying, "What is going on? There's chaos. You should know something." And he's not allowed to say anything. Like, don't worry about it. So there's that communication thing there. So of course she's going to, I mean, she represents all of us just freaking out because we don't really know what's going on, at least the audience in that, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, what else could they, what else could Forrest Whitaker's character, any of them say, mm-hmm. we're going to, that would calm anyone down? Because even if you say, we're trying to learn how to communicate to them, it's still really hard to convince people to stay calm, where everything's still okay. Mm-hmm. You know, because still, we're still in shock of this, like, holy shit, there's aliens now.
I also did like how they had the, military, the general, played by,
Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker. He had to relay everything that was going on to the government, and I like how there was still that, like, chain of command. Like, he still had to report to somebody, so after, you know, the first couple of missions, he, like, came up to her. He's like, all right, I need to know what's going on because the government's getting, like, antsy about it. And she explains the language. And I thought the way that she explained how the language was going to be, like, well, to ask the question, what is your purpose on Earth, you have to explain first what this is. Yeah,
and
pronouns, and you, the not just all, you as a person, you as a general.
And incredibly, it's all interesting.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, oh my God, I'm sitting here through a language lesson. It's all interesting.
Yeah.
That's the most incredible part. I mean, it could be really boring for some random person that wanted just to watch explosions and whatnot. And mm-hmm. But still, I found it all interesting, and that shows you how great of a director Denis Villeneuve is how he can still break everything down to simple things and still make it interesting.
He actually created a kind of like a Bible with one of the creators, I guess. And yeah, they used 71 characters out of the whole book that they wrote. So
right.
I mean, that language could actually save us all for all we know.
Probably. So we got to move on to, unfortunately, to Hacksaw Ridge real quick. But do you guys have any final thoughts on Arrival?
You guys need to go watch it. It's
10 out of 10. Yeah. Would definitely see again.
I'm going to definitely see it again.
In about 2 years.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing it again. I would give it, well, now that you guys have come up with really good theories about how the ending could happen, I think I'll bump mine up to a 9 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah. And flash forwards, not flashbacks. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and now I think on the letterbox thing that I have, it's now going to be 4.5 and then A minus on my regular scores. So Hacksaw Ridge, people. Ethel, you did not have a chance to see this, right?
Nope.
All right. And Levi, you did.
I did, yeah.
So Hacksaw Ridge, we talked about it. We already talked about the plot and some of my thoughts on the movie. So, Levi, what do you think of Hacksaw Ridge?
I thought I have pretty mixed feelings about it, actually. Like, throughout the entire movie, you see this, like, little, you see this this boy who doesn't really want to, he doesn't want to cause trouble, but still, like, everybody is mad at him because he wants to go into war without, you know, carrying a gun. He just wants to help people. He wants to save people. And it's nice and all, but you also see the other side of it. You see the soldiers mad at him, thinking he's a coward, thinking all these negative things about him, you know. And I thought it was a really good performance by Andrew Garfield. his Southern accent at times kind of made me laugh because,
yeah, you know. I'm getting to the point with Southern accents where it's just like, just do an American. It's fine. Please, it's fine. Really don't care.
We don't care.
At this point, we don't care because it's watching British people or just anyone try to do a Southern accent is just getting, it's getting embarrassing. And watching other actors that are from the South do it,
mm-hmm.
It's just like, just do an American. I at this point, why not?
There's some movies in which you can look at them and you're like, all right, the movie can end right here. And then the movie still continues and you're like, all right, no, wait, it can end here. And you can like split it up and so, like when it can end.
So for you, where does Hacksaw Ridge end?
The love story is where it ends for me. Like when the love story just kind of ends and he's like off in war and he's all doing that, that's where I was just like, all right. That's enough for me. And then, like, there was just this huge tonal shift. Like, the whole movie, there's, like, this encouraging, like, you know, don't let anybody change what your values are and what your beliefs are, you know? Stick with them no matter what. And then, like, and it's, like, all kind of happy-go-lucky, except it's not. And then the war happens, and it just got...
Shit got real.
Shit got really real. I did not expect to, like... I'm pretty desensitized,
but too.
I didn't expect it on that level. So when the shit went down, I was more shocked than I should have been.
Right, and to add on to your point about don't let anyone change your values or whatnot, the movie does a really good job of even questioning his values anyway, because mm-hmm. his whole value system is I don't want to kill anyone, and I explained this in my other review, but. I love how the movie explains why he doesn't want to kill people, why he's a humanitarian, you know, because he's already come close to killing someone mm-hmm. multiple times. So for this character, so for us, we know as an audience why, and we understand, but we also understand, because we've seen other war movies, why it's kind of ridiculous to not have a weapon on you mm-hmm. in the midst of a war.
And I counted like 6 close calls in the movie where I was like, it's getting kind of ridiculous. Like, I thought about that too. I'm like, it's kind of crazy how he doesn't have a gun out there because there's so much like terror going on around him. But he's just, you know, he's sticking through it. And with each soldier he comes up to, he's like, all right, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
You're going to be all right.
He has a positive attitude, like, in the midst of everyone dying around him. And I was kind of like, buddy, somebody's got to tell him.
Buddy, this isn't for you.
This is not for you.
Yeah, and a lot of people die in this movie. And Luke Bracey has a character that dies.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting enough, and I'm sorry we're spoiling this for you, Ethel, because it is a good movie.
Okay.
It is.
Trust me. But Vince Vaughn's character doesn't die, and Sam Worthington's character doesn't die, and then...
Sam Worthington's back. That's great to hear.
Well,
he actually did a good job.
He's doing, yeah.
He's great.
Like, there's some movies that I see him in, and I'm just like, you're generically, I don't know what's going on, Sam Worthington.
Wow.
This movie, he like, you know, he took charge.
Yeah, well, he's working with an actual director.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, that's what happens when you don't work with a director named McGee or Louis Letelier or... Well, James Cameron is an actual good filmmaker. I just don't know why he chose Sam Worthington for Jake Sully. So with Hacksaw Ridge, my overall thoughts are I liked how this is a religious movie. Because let's face mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah, that's true.
It is. It's very much, you can easily put this in the same category as those PureFlix movies. However, this movie stands out because it doesn't say no, you gotta not have a gun in a war, it's bad.
Yeah, it's all,
it's not like intrusive,
it's objective about it,
because mm-hmm. it does you know, show that, you know, war is tough, and yeah, there has to be people that are willing to sacrifice, that are willing to, you know, shoot guns, and because that is war. That is the act of war, is to kill. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, it would all be wonderful if we had that view that Desmond Doss has. But the only thing I don't care about for the movie is how cheesy some of it is and how corny some of the script is. Like, this could have been a much more better polished screenplay. And some of the effects, like there are scenes on like a hilltop, mm-hmm. and that looks so obviously blue screened. And for me, that distracted me a lot. However, I think the movie is well made. A lot of good characters, and I felt like I was intrigued the entire time. So enjoy Hacksaw Ridge. I know I keep tooting my horn twice about a movie directed by an insane person, but it's a good movie. I think it's worth checking out. And also check out Arrival. All right, so do we have any final thoughts on either of these movies?
I'd put like Hacksaw Ridge like up there, like second to Braveheart. In Gibson's like directing stuff.
By the way, I've never seen a Mel Gibson movie before this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always wanted to. Like, Braveheart was on Netflix for the longest time, and every time I would try to click on it, it's like, 3-hour runtime, though.
Wow.
I know, it's terrible. It's like, I love long movies, but it's like, do I really want to waste 3 hours?
That's me with Gone with the Wind.
That's me with a lot of movies. So... other than that, we're gonna leave the podcast here for till next week. Do you guys have any Twitter or things you want to plug in? Things you want to talk about?
I have an Instagram. Things you want to promote?
Okay.
No, thank you. I'd rather remain a mystery for now.
All right. Ooh. Well, thank you, Ethel and Levi, for joining me on this week on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we will be back with you next week. With some movie called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
What's that? I'm kidding.
It's supposed to be this Harry Potter thing, but I don't know.
There's a filter on Snapchat, so that explained a lot.
Uh-huh. And then apparently there's a porno spoof we'll talk about, but other than that.
Nice.
But
oh my God.
But well, that'll be next week. All right, folks. See you next week.
Is it JK Rowling directed or